नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनितने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य भक्त्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइन दिस सेशन। We have been discussing from the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita along with the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So I'll do a quick recap of what's seen till now and then move forward from there. So the third chapter starts with the question of Arjuna, because Krishna in the second chapter glorified karma yoga, glorified jnana yoga as being superior, but at the same time asked Arjuna to practice karma yoga. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturbhur ma te sangostva karmani. It says, Arjuna, please perform your duties, but don't be attached to the fruits. This is what he told. So Arjuna is wondering, well, if clearly identified jnana yoga to be superior to karma yoga, then why are you asking me to fight? Then you let me do the better yoga of the two. So Krishna responds by telling that, oh, lokesmin dvividha nishtha pura prokta mayanaga jnana yogena sankhyanam karmena yoginam. He says, Arjuna, try to understand that yes, no doubt jnana yoga is superior to karma yoga, but that does not mean anyone is qualified to practice jnana yoga. You should consider the question of adhikar or qualification. One needs a particular qualification to practice karma yoga. People who are qualified for karma, they practice karma, and people who are qualified for jnana, they practice jnana yoga. Because you do not have the qualification for practicing jnana yoga, that's why I recommend karma yoga for you. Then he mentioned, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnate nacha sannyasanadeva siddhim samadhi gacchati. But still, here we should understand, I made it clear the last few times also, sannyas and jnana yoga is the same. Sannyas means karma sannyas. So when you give up karma and just practicing jnana, that is called as karma sannyas or karma yoga or jnana yoga. So he says, Arjuna says, well, you know, you are asking me to work, but I am telling you, by performing sannyas, I will become, I will progress, I will take up to sannyas. Now, what is the problem? So he says, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnate. Purification of heart cannot happen without practicing nishkama karma yoga. Nacha sannyasanadeva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Without purification, just like that, taking up to sannyas, you cannot achieve the perfection of attaining liberation. It is not possible. Okay, so this why? Because nahi kaschit shanamapi jatu tishtat yakarma krit. Someone says that my voice is low. Others also feel the same way. Is my voice properly audible or not? Please give me a feedback in the chat box. Someone is telling that my voice is very low. Are others also feeling the same way? Yeah, Shyamalal Prabhu says audible. Okay, so then maybe it's a problem with their volume. Okay. So he says that nahi kaschit kshanamapi jati tishtat yakarma krit karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jay gunaihi. He says that, Arjuna, you are thinking that, you are telling that you will take sannyas. You will go to the forest. and not perform any activity. But what about all these karma vasanas that you are having in your heart? There is so much desires, material vasanas, which will anyway push you to act. So how will you not act? So why you are using the path of inaction when your internal makeup will anyway push you to act? But having taken up to sannyas, if you end up performing some activity which is not sanctioned within sannyas, then you will get sinful react on that. Better remain a householder and perform your kshatriya duties. Anyway, inclination is there in your heart. So because karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jay gunai, there is so much material vasanas in your heart which will anyway push you to act. So therefore you should not take up the premature sannyas. But then Arjuna says, no, don't think like that. I have confidence in my sense control. I will control my senses. Allow me to take up the sannyas. I will not perform any activity. I will follow my sannyas. Don't worry. Krishna says, what do you mean you will follow your sannyas? Do you think that if you do not engage your external senses in the activities, that is sannyas? No. Your mind also should not have any sense gratification desire also. So sannyas does not mean not performing sense gratification, not indulging in sense gratification. But the qualification of sannyas is that one should not get even a desire for sense gratification. If one has a desire for sense gratification, that desire can be purified only by practicing one's varnashram duties. One cannot give up your varnashram duties and take up to sannyas and purify those desires. So therefore, Arjuna, your understanding is wrong. You may have sense control, you may not engage in sense gratificatory activities, but can you promise that you will even not get the desire to perform sense gratification? So therefore, such a person who thinks that just merely not non-engagement in sense gratificatory desire is sannyas, it does not matter even if I get a sense gratificatory desire, such person is a mithyachari. Mithyachara sauchyate. He's a pretender. Pretender means he is false, he is misguided person. He does not have the right understanding. Rather, Krishna says, yastu indriyani manasa niyamnyarabhate arjuna karmendriyahi karmayogam asaktaha savishishyate. He says that it's better to be a householder practicing one's varnashram duty, then it is better to be a qualified householder practicing one's varnashram duty to be an unqualified sanya, unable to control one's mind. So he says that sannyas will not help a person whose heart is not pure. Proper practice of varnashram duties will only purify the heart. So therefore, Arjuna, niyatam kuru karmatvam karmajayo hi akarmanah sharira yatra pichate na prasidye dadat akarmanah. He says, therefore I am telling you, Arjuna, because your heart is not yet purified of the sense gratificatory desires, therefore do not prematurely take up to sannyas. Follow your varnashram duties. That is what Krishna is suggesting here. Sharira yatra pichate na prasidya da karmana. Even you will not even be able to maintain your body without performing your prescribed duties. But Krishna, Arjuna may say, Krishna, you are pushing me to perform karma. But the scriptures say that karma binds a person. Karma binds that person. So by action, won't I be bound? So in response to that, Krishna says, Yagyartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartam karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. He says that actually, yagyartat karmano anyatra. if you perform your activities for the purpose of yajna, which is prescribed to you, and offer the fruits to Krishna, there is no karma bandhan. But if you don't perform your prescribed duties and do not offer the fruits to Krishna, then there is binding. So therefore, not every action is binding. So to say that action binds is not correct. So yajyartha karma will not represent to this material world. That's what he says. And then he explains how. He says that yajna, even if you may have material desires, even if you have material desires to fulfill, still you should perform your varnashram prescribed duties. Sahayajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapati anena prashavishyatvam eshavo ishtakamaduk. So he says that when Brahmaji created human beings, along with the human beings, he also created the yajnas. And he said to the human beings, look, perform your yajnas, and by this all your material desires will be fulfilled. How? He says, devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuvaha parasparam bhavayana shreyah paramavasita. When you perform the yajna for the pleasure of Vishnu, all the demigods will also come and accept the offerings. And when they get their offerings, then they will provide you with all the amenities. This way, by mutual cooperation, you all can be happy. The demigods will also be happy by your offerings. And you will also be happy by the facilities provided by the demigods. Okay. He says, Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dasyante yajna bhavitah tair dattana payebhyo mo yo bhunkte stene eva saha. So those who enjoy the amenities given by the devatas, but do not in return perform yajna to express their gratitude, he is like a thief. And then he's yajna shishta ashinasanto muchyante sarvakil vishayi bunjate te twagam papa ye pachanti atmakarana. So he says that those people who enjoy the amenities which are provided by the devatas, but do not perform any yajna, they are eating only sins. Bunjate te twagam papa ye pachanti atmakarna. They suffer sins. They are eating only sins. So annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhava yajnad bhavati parjanya yajna karma samudbhava karma brahmodbhavam viddhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yajna pratishtitam. In these two verses 3.14 and 15, he says that how ultimately by performing yajna, the Supreme Lord is satisfied, because annad bhavanti bhutani, grains come from rain, rain comes from sacrifice, sacrifice comes from one's prescribed duties, okay? And prescribed duties are given in the Vedas. And the Vedas come from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. In this way, the Supreme Lord is behind all the sacrifices. So if the human being enjoys the food that comes from rain but does not perform sacrifice, who does not complete the cycle, evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartayati hayah agayur indriyanamo mogam parthasa jivati. So one who does not follow the cycle of performing one's varnashram duties and sacrifices, and instead tries to enjoy the amenities provided by the demigods without performing the sacrifices, he is definitely living a life full of sin, and his future life is going to be suffering. Okay. So then Krishna says that, you know what, Arjuna, who is qualified to give up varnashram duties, varnashram prescribed duties? He says, yastu atmaratireva syad atmatriptascha manava atmanyeva hi santushto tasya karyam na vidyate. He says, one who develops joy, one who feels joyful only by the self, Atma. One who gets joy only in concentrating on the Atma, Atma Triptaha, he is satisfied with the Atma, Atman Yeva hi Santushta, and his satisfaction comes only from Atma and nothing of this material world. Tasya karyam na vidyate. For him, there is no Varnashram duties. So, Varnashram, so if you have reached this stage, then you can give up Varnashram duties. Okay. Then he says, Naiva tasya kritena artho na kriteneha kaschana, na chasya sarva bhuteshu kaschit artha vyapashtaya. He says that such a person who is qualified for jnana, who is an atmarati, neither does he gain by anything by performing his Varnashram duties, nor does he lose anything by non-performance of Varnashram duties, he says. In this way, he is not dependent at all. He is dependent on nothing of this world. So such a person, whereas a Nishkama Karma Yogi, by not performing Varnashram duties, he gets reactions. And by performing Varnashram duties, his heart gets purified. And a Sakama Karma Yogi, by performing Varnashram duties, he gets piety. And by non-performance of Varnashram duties, he gets sins. Whereas a Jnana Yogi, by performing Varnashram duties, he does not gain anything. And by not performing Varnashram duties, he does not lose anything. So therefore, and only for a Bhakti Yogi also. So therefore, there is no need for them to perform that. So here he says, Tasmad asaktah satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hi acharan karma param apnoti purusha. Tasmad, he is concluding here. Therefore, because you do not have this qualification, Ona, because you are not an atmarati, therefore, asaktah satatam karyam karma samachara. You should perform your Varnashram duties with detachment from enjoying the material fruits. Okay. You do not have qualification for Karma Yoga also. Sakama Karma Yoga also. You don't think that the goal of life is to enjoy in this material world. Correct? So that way you are not qualified. You should not be practicing Sakama Karma Yoga. And at the same time, even though you may wish to attain liberation, that may be your goal, your heart is not clean. So you cannot immediately start practicing Jnana Yoga also. So therefore, you have to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. That is the only things that you should be doing. Tasmad asaktah satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hi acharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Then he says that, but Janak Maharaj, Arjuna may say, Krishna, you are telling perform Karma Yoga, because I am a Kshatriya and all that. But Janak Maharaj did not perform his Varnashram duties. He did not perform his Kshatriya duties, he lit up at some time. He says, well, in the case of Janak Maharaj, Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim astito janakadayaha. He achieved that position of he achieved the qualification to give up his Varnashram duty because of following Varnashram duty. He followed his Varnashram duties, purified his heart, then he became qualified to give up his Varnashram duties. Whereas your heart is not purified. So you have to continue to practice your Varnashram duties. Janak Maharaj's case is different. Janak Maharaj performed his Varnashram, achieved purification of heart, and then he gave up his Varnashram duties. But your heart is not yet purified. How can it be premature? Karmanaiva hi sansiddhi mastho janakadayaha loka sangrahamevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. And even if you think, O Arjuna, that your heart is purified, but still, because you do not have a qualified successor who can take up to the throne, you should still considering the benefit of to set the right example for your prajas, you should perform your Kshatriya duties, Varnashram duties. Because if you give up your varnashram duties, then your prajas will also give up their varnashram duties. You may think you have qualification for jnana, but your prajas may not have qualification for jnana. So if they prematurely give up their varnashram duties, they will go to hell and you will be responsible for that. So therefore, loka sangraham eva api sampashyan kartum arhasi. You should just do it to set the right example for others. Whatever great personalities do, common men follow. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanu vartate. And whatever pramana they follow, the common man will also follow. Okay. So we saw last time that for a leader, you know, for a Kshatriya, if most of his prajas they have qualification for karma, then publicly he should be practicing karma yoga only, and his based on the dharma shastras, his pramana should be dharma shastras, and his public practice should be karma yoga, which means a Kshatriya should perform his Kshatriya duty. But internally he may be a devotee, internally he may be a sannyasi. So internally he can practice that and he may follow the jnana shastras or bhakti shastras, but publicly he should practice the dharma shastra. So that's what he says, sayat pramanam kurute lokastadana vartate. Whatever the leader accepts as the pramana, the prajas will also accept that only as the pramana. So in our devotional context, if our leaders accept Bhagavatam as the pramana, then the praja will also accept Bhagavatam only as the pramana. If the leaders accept dharma shastras as the pramana, then the common praja will also accept dharma shastra only as the pramana. So it is their responsibility to know what is the qualification of their prajas and accordingly follow a process and follow a particular pramana. So if your prajas all have bhakti shraddha, then your public and private practice should be bhakti, and your public and private pramana should be Bhagavatam only. Right? But if your prajas, if your subordinates are all, they don't have faith in bhakti, but they have faith in let's say karma, then your public practice can be karma and your public pramana can be dharma shastras, but still your private practice should be bhakti and your private pramana should be Bhagavatam. Okay. So in a devotional society like ISKCON, no leader should say that you know, for loka sangraha I will follow dharma shastras. Nay, but who are your prajas? Your prajas are not non-devotees, your prajas are devotees. So how can you say that for loka sangraha you can practice dharma shastra? That is not valid. If all the people who are subordinate to you are all devotees, then we should teach them how to practice bhakti shastras and not dharma shastra. Right. So then Krishna in the next three verses say, look Arjuna, I don't have any prescribed duties, but still I follow my prescribed duties. You know, I am a householder and I am a Vaishya or a Kshatriya, or in depending on where he is, I follow my Varnashram duties properly because I have taken the role of a leader and people under me will follow my example. So therefore he says, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishilokeshu Kinchana Nanavaptam Avaptavyam Varteva Chakarman. He says, Arjuna, in these three worlds, there is nothing that I need to accomplish. So everything is accomplished just by my Ichcha. I don't have to perform any duty to gain some piety or something to accomplish anything. But still I perform my duties. Yadi hyaham na varteyam jatu karmanya atandritaha mama vartma tante manushya partha sarvashaha. He says, if I were not to scrutinizingly follow my varnashram duties, then people will follow my example. They will also give up their varnashram duties. Utsideyur ime loka nakuriyam karma chedaham sankarasya cha kartasyam upahanyam ima praja. So he says that, Arjuna, you are telling that by your practice of varnashram duty and fighting on the battlefield and killing people, you will lead to varnasankara. No, that is not the cause of varnasankara. Varnasankara will happen only if you refuse to perform your duty of fighting. Because if you refuse to perform your duty of fighting, then people under you will think that it is okay, it is all right not to perform varnashram duties. And if they wholesale reject varnashram duties, then they will lose their varna. And therefore, all the children who will be born will be varnasankara. So therefore, your understanding is wrong. It is not by fighting you will give rise to varnasankara. It is actually by not fighting, you will be setting the right example for people to en masse follow your example, and all of them will give up varnashram duties. All of them will lose their varna, and subsequently whoever is born will be a varnasankara. So therefore, your understanding is wrong. That's what Krishna is telling here. So then he says, Saha karmanya vidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvam sata saktas chikirshur loka sangraham. So he says that how jnana yogi deal with a karma yogi. So he says a jnana yogi, even though he himself understands that jnana is better than karma for him, but he should not go to a karma yogi and tell that, oh, you know what, jnana is better than karma. Because in doing that, that person will inspire that person to prematurely give up karma and take up to jnana. And if that person prematurely gives up karma and takes up jnana, he will not attain any success. So rather, this jnana yogi should himself perform karma, varnashram duties with detachment, and show that person that how you can engage in karma but with detachment. So teach him nishkama karma yoga rather than directly try to push him to jnana yoga. Encourage him to perform nishkama karma yoga rather than prematurely pushing him to up to jnana yoga or karma sannyas. So he says, Saktaha karmanya vidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvams tata saktas chikirshur loka sangraham. To teach the people properly, even though a person may be qualified for jnana, he himself should practice karma with a detached way to set the right example for them. And then he says, Na buddhibedam janaye dagyanam karma sanginam josheyat sarvakarmani vidvan yukta samacharan. Don't try to disturb the intelligence of that karma sanghi, one who is very much attached to karma. Don't go and tell him that jnana is better, jnana is better. He does not have qualification for jnana. Don't speak to him about jnana. Otherwise, he will prematurely give it up. Rather, you engage him in all kinds of karma and gradually teach him how to get detached from the fruits rather than encouraging him to give up his action only. This is where we ended our discussion. In this commentary, we discussed that what about a devotee? Can a devotee encourage a person who is qualified for karma to give up karma and take up to bhakti? So, Sri Vishnu Chakradagur says, look, for bhakti, Shraddha is the only qualification. But for jnana, Shraddha is also needed and purification of heart is also needed. So if the person to whom you are preaching, to whom you are trying to recommend bhakti, if he is agreeable to take up to bhakti, if he has the faith in bhakti, then you can tell him that bhakti is better than karma. But a jnana yogi, even when he is preaching to a karma yogi, even though the karma yogi may be willing to give up his karma and take up to jnana, he should be encouraged, because Shraddha is not the only qualification to take up the Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga needs additional qualification of a purified heart. Because that person does not have a purified heart, you cannot preach. Whereas a devotee can preach. Because purification of heart is a prerequisite for, it's not a prerequisite for practicing bhakti. Yeah. Even if the person has the most impure heart, he can practice bhakti. Apichet suduracharo bhajate mamanam. So therefore, there is no question of devotees should not be preaching those who have karmanishta. Those who have karmanishta, you can gently encourage them to develop some faith in bhakti. Once they develop faith in bhakti, then no other qualification is needed for them to practice bhakti. So this is what Srila Vishnachakrita says. So if it is possible for you to produce faith in bhakti in the other person, then you may disturb the minds of those attached to action. For those who have faith in bhakti have no obligation for performing karma. So faith is sufficient. The people say that, oh, you are telling that we can give up karma. We are not so elevated devotees. He says, no, just faith. Adav Shraddha is good enough. He need not be attached to practicing karma. He should practice bhakti only. Okay. And then he gives so many proofs. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyata yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. He says, if there is mata shravana adavva shraddha, if there is just faith in practicing the limbs of bhakti, then he need not practice the varnashram duties. And then he gives so many other such proofs for that. Tattva sadharmam charanam bhujam hare sarva dharman parityajya ajna evam gunan doshan and so on. So therefore he says that na buddhi bedam janayet. Of course, these are the points Srila Vishnachakrita Thakur is giving in the purport for devotees. But generally the verse itself is talking about how a Jnana Yogi should not unnecessarily try to disturb the intelligence of the Karma Yogi by glorifying Jnana Yoga to him. Because such a person would prematurely give up his heart and go to hell. Rather, the Jnana Yogi should also perform Karma Yoga and show to him how that same Karma Yoga can be performed with a Nishkama Bhavana. And gradually try to elevate him like that. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, please go ahead. Anything? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, just as the Jnana Yogi is supposed to set an example, the same holds true for devotees also, Bhakti Yogis also.
Well, in one sense, yes, that Loka Sangraha requirement is there for the devotees also, provided there is a properly functional Varnash model in the society, where people know what their varna is and there is a proper understanding of the dharma shastras by them. There is a proper following of the dharma by them. Then you can follow, just to set the right example. But if people don't know their varna only, then the only example that we can set is devotees can live a very you can say perfect spotless lives. So that way seeing the spotless nature of the devotees, the others may get inspiration to themselves live a spotless life, And at the same time, they may appreciate devotees and gain some sukriti also. Otherwise, to whom are we going to set? You know, are we going to start selling? So then you will need a person to find out what their varna is. Then the society itself should be in such a way. See, it is not just sufficient to have a person who will tell you what your varna is. Then there must be a system of practicing all the samskaras in order to fix that varna. Not only that is sufficient. You must have a society in which there is appropriate occupational engagement for the people according to their varna. Because a brahmana should only do begging. He cannot be paid. He cannot a salary. So which means there must be dharmic people around who will identify a brahmana and give him charity. But if the society is not like that, then how will the brahmana survive? So without all this system, by your just telling follow ashram, follow varnashram, how he will follow varnashram? So how set the example for such people? So example means you yourself should be willing to follow, which means if you are a brahmana, then you should be willing to live by begging. So these are not so, how are we going to implement it? It is rather easy to, the only thing you can do is live a very honest, simple life to set the right example for people. And when they appreciate your honesty, simplicity, and gentle character, they will at least gain some agyata sukriti, and gradually they may take up to bhakti. Rest, I think it's a very, 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 very big project. How are we going to accomplish? How are you going to accomplish this in a society? How are you going to develop an economic system which is built around it? So these are what about grown-up people, you know? And most importantly, there is no question of anyone trying to find out their when they are 30, 35 years old. They have not done any samskara. How is it possible that they will have a fixed varna? It is not at all possible. So these are all practical issues. But in principle, where there is an existing, pre-existing system of varnashrama, which is functional, there the devotees, if they are in a leadership role, they also have the responsibility of lokasangraha, or setting right example for others. They be dependent on them. But in the absence of such a system existing, how you set the example? That is the biggest question.
Yeah, so my question was, directly related, because we are trying to, instill some of these principles in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
Of course, but of course, basically to set an example, so that people can follow and people can inspire.
So, okay, what example are we trying to set?
We are trying to, of course, how we can live the life of a devotee as well as earn your living. So when you are saying you're earning your living, so doesn't that become like, of course, not the ideal varnashram, but it is somewhere close, right?
No. If you are a devotee and you are earning your living, you are a devotee. That is not varnashrama. Because in the traditional Vedic system also, people who had faith in people who had bhakti nishta or bhakti adhikar, they all performed occupations, but that does not mean that they were an occupation could have been according to their varna, or it may be different, but if you can perform your occupation, and if you can perform the, then you are setting the right example for how a good householder devotee should live. That's all. So because even if you see in Chaitanya Charitamrita or everywhere, Shananda Sen and they all had their own professions, and they were devotees. So so it's not that to worship Krishna through Shravanam Kirtanam is bhakti, and to perform your occupational duty is varnashram. No, that is not the right understanding, actually. So devotees also perform their occupational duties, because they have to maintain their body. To perform any sadhana, you have to maintain your body, so you should have some source of income. So that source of income need not be varnashram. Source of income means, so in that way, that occupation becomes a limb of bhakti only. It is not a limb of varnashrama. So we should have a, so rather you can say what Bhaktivedanta Hospital is trying to do is, they are trying to set an example for to people to show what is a holistic understanding of bhakti. What is a holistic understanding of bhakti? Bhakti does not just mean Shravanam Kirtanam. Of course, that is the primary thing. But other than that, whatever supports the practice of bhakti on an individual level, on a family level, and on a societal level, all those also fall within the limb of bhakti. So therefore, we will give you, set an example to you for holistic understanding of bhakti. Bhakti is not just Shravan Kirtan and do nothing else. Bhakti means to primarily perform these activities, but also perform those other activities will support these primary activities. That is also bhakti. And that is the example, in my understanding, Bhaktivedanta Hospital is setting.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else before we move ahead to today's discussion? Okay. Let's continue. Krishna is instructing Arjuna further. So Krishna is telling, this is a famous verse. You all must have heard this many times. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. Ahankara vimodatma karta hammiti manyate. Just give me a second. I'll just adjust the thickness of my this thing. Pen. Just one second. Almost done. Okay. So he says, ahankara vimuda. Ahankara vimudatma means the person who is bewildered by pride. Manyate, he thinks, karta aham iti, that he is the doer. Karmani, of actions, sachah kriyamanani, which are being completely done by prakritehe gunaihi, by the modes of material nature. Okay, so a person who is bewildered by his ahankara, he thinks he is the doer. So which means, is jiva the doer or not? If the jiva thinks he is the doer, he is the ahankara vimudatma. Then which means, if the jiva is not the doer, then why should the jiva experience the karma? Why should the jiva be punished? If the jiva is not the doer, Why should the jiva be punished? Anyone would like to share this, share an answer for this? Krishna is criticizing a person who out of ahankar thinks he is the doer. So if a person thinks he is not the doer, then should he be punished? What is your understanding? Okay, someone has typed something in the chat box. Okay, someone says he desires. Yes, Shyamlal.
Because the jiva is desiring, and it's yes. After the jiva's desire that Krishna sanctions. So he has to face the consequence.
Correct. Yes, Sachipranto, is that the same one that you were planning to give?
Yeah. Same, Guruji.
Okay, thank you. So, there are three doers, you all know this. Okay. So, the three doers. Okay. The jiva is the desiring doer. And because he desires, he is the responsible doer also. The responsibility of a particular act, the reaction for that act, he should only take. Okay. So the jiva. The Lord is the sanctioning doer. Okay. And Prakriti is the performing doer. How is Prakriti the performer? Let's say, let's take the example of eating a gulab jamun. Okay. To form the act of eating the gulab jamun, what are the things that we need? We need first the gulab jamun. Okay. And then we need the tongue, the gross tongue, the stulendriya. Then we need the sukshmendriya. The subtle tongue. Then you need the mind, which has to ultimately generate the emotion, because ultimately the tongue may experience the sensation of sweetness or whatever, but ultimately it is the mind which processes that sweetness as joy, all these emotions, and these emotions are only experienced by the soul, right? So you have the mind, and you also need the intelligence. Okay. Which, if you like the gulab jamun and if you want one more gulab jamun, the intelligence has to scheme and find out, you know, how to get the extra gulab jamun like that. So ultimately, the act of eating that gulab jamun and enjoying that gulab jamun is accomplished by these factors. So the gulab jamun itself is dravya, which is a product of false ego in the mode of ignorance. The gross tongue is again a product of false ego in the mode of ignorance. The sukshmendriyas, the subtle senses, are a product of false ego in the mode of passion. The mind is a byproduct of false ego in the mode of goodness. The intelligence is a byproduct of false ego in the mode of passion. So ultimately, to perform the act of eating that gulab jamun, the tongue, the sukshmendriyas, the mind, intelligence, all are involved to accomplish that act. So the act is performed by mode of ignorance, mode of passion, mode of goodness, which is prakrite kriyamanani gunaihi. Prakrite gunaihi kriyani. The act is the doer, the performing doer is actually prakrite guna. The gunas of prakriti. But ahankara vimudatma karta ahamiti manyate. But ahankara vimudatma means what? మిథ్యా అహంకార విమూఢాత్మ. మిథ్యా అహంకార విమూఢాత్మ థింగ్స్ ఐఎమ్ దిస్ బాడీ, బికాస్ హీ థింగ్స్ హీస్ ద బాడీ విచ్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రకృతే ప్రకృతేర్ గుణై, దేర్ ఫోర్ హీ థింగ్స్ హీఈస్ క్రియమాణాన్ని, హీఈస్ ఓన్లీ డూయింగ్ ఇట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ బాడీలీ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇట్ ఇస్ హిస్ బాడీ విచ్ ఇస్ డూయింగ్, బట్ బికాస్ హీఈస్ ఐడెంటిఫైయింగ్ విత్ హిస్ బాడీ హీ థింగ్స్ హీఈస్ డూయింగ్. కర్త అహమితి మని. సో సో ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ ద జీవా ఇస్ నాట్ ద కర్త, బట్ ద జీవా థింగ్స్ ఐఎమ్ ద డిజైరింగ్ డూవర్, ఐఎమ్ ద పర్ఫార్మింగ్ డూవర్ ఆల్సో, బికాస్ హీ థింగ్స్ because of his bodily identification, and he does not think he needs anyone's sanction to perform that activity. He thinks he is independent to perform any action. He does not think that he needs anyone's sanction to perform that activity, right? So therefore he thinks he is all the three doers. I am sharing doer, I am the performing doer, and I am the sanctioning doer also. So he thinks like that. Prakrite kriyamanani karman sarvasha ahankara mudatma kartaham iti manyate. So now one may say, why suddenly Krishna is speaking about this? Why suddenly Krishna is speaking prakrite kriyamanani verse? Because in the previous verse only he said a person who a jnana yogi should not bewilder the intelligence of a karma sanghi who is interested and attached only to perform karma. His intelligence should not be bewildered. Now the question is, how do I understand people's adhikara? How do I end people's adhikar? You are telling them don't disturb their intelligence. How do I know whether that person to whom I am going to speak is paid for karma or jnana? Mujhe kaise pata? Adhikar ko kaise judge karun? You know, how will I evaluate the adhikar of that person? Krishna says, ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశః అహంకార విమూఢాత్మ కర్త అహమితి మన్యతే. దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ యూ క్యాన్ ఐడెంటిఫై అ పర్సన్ హూ ఇస్ అ కర్మసంగి. సో ఎ కర్మసంగి హూ వాంట్స్ టు ఎంజాయ్ థింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, హీ క్యాన్ హ్యావ్ హూ ఇస్ కన్విన్స్డ్ దట్ ఈస్ ద గోల్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్, హీ విల్ థింక్ హీ ఈస్ ద డూవర్ అండ్ హీ విల్ హ్యావ్ బాడీలీ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్. సో అ వెరీ క్లియర్ బాడీలీ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్. And such a person is qualified for karma only. That's what he says. Yeah. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur says, the doubt may arise how to distinguish the person in knowledge, Vidwan, from the ignorant person if the man in knowledge also performs actions. So abhi aap rahe hain ki jo karma sanghi hai usko aap karma chhod liye mat bolo. Instead, you also perform karma and teach him how he can perform that same karma in a detached way. Now, if the person with jnana adhikar and person with karma adhikar, both are performing karma, how do I understand who has jnana adhikar, who has karma adhikar? He says two verses describe this. The first verse describes the system of, you know, these are the symptom of person with karma adhikar. Okay. And the next verse will speak about the about the symptom of a person with jnana adhikar. Okay. So the doubt may arise how to distinguish the knowledge from the ignorant person if the man in knowledge also performs actions. The two verses explain this difference. The ignorant person thinks that he is the performer of all the acts, which are actually performed completely by the material senses, which in turn are the products of the gunas. So they are all products of the gunas. On the other hand, what are the symptoms of a person with Gyanadhikar? Okay. He says, Tattva Vittu Mahabaho Gunakarma Vibhagayoho Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjan. He says, but the wise person who knows that he is different, Tattva Vittu, but other hand, a Tattva Vitt, a wise person, Guna Karma Vibhayoho Tattva Vitt. He knows that he is different from the senses and their actions. Okay. He knows that he is different from his body. O Abaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, na sajjate. He will not be attached to the sense objects. So, while the person with karma adhikar, he may be perform actions, but with attachment to the sense objects. Whereas, a person who is Puhyanadhikar, he will be performing the actions, but without any attachment to the sense objects. But why he will not be attached to the sense objects? Mata, because he knows Guna Guneshu Vartanta iti, that only the senses are engaged with the sense objects. The soul has nothing to do. I am not the body. I am different from the senses and the sense objects. Okay. With that understanding, Guna Guneshu Vartanta iti matva na sajjate. So therefore, he is not attached to the sense objects, understanding that only the senses are engaged with the sense objects. So very clearly, just for the bare maintenance of his body, he will engage the senses with sense objects. Even a Jnana Yogi has to eat and maintain his body. But he will eat only for maintaining the body and not for gratifying his senses. So because he understands that even to practice any sadhana, the body is needed, and for maintaining the body, we have to eat. So he also eats, but not for gratification, but for maintenance of the body. Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Mana Sajjate. And even in that, he does not identify with the body. So he says, oh, the senses have to come in touch with the sense objects, like that. He does not identify with the body, say, I have to eat, I have to enjoy, like that. So he says, the intelligent person, however, knows the truth about the divisions of guna and actions. Guna karma vibhagayoho. The divisions of the gunas are sattva, rajas and tamas. The divisions of actions are according to the effects of the gunas. Devata, senses and sense objects. So the sense objects are the products of tamasik ahankar. The senses are the product of rajasik ahankar. And the mind and the sense devatas, they are the products of the sattvika ahankar. So he knows that. It is only prakrite kriyamanani garmani sarvashah. Ahankar vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. So he understands that this is all accomplished by the modes of material nature in the form of sukshmendriya, tulendriya, mana, buddhi, and all of that. He knows they are all products of the three modes only. He says, one knows the nature of these two is called a tattvavit. The senses such as the eye, administered by their devatas, are engaged with the sense objects form. So there is eye, which is stulendriya, which is called as what do you call the eyes in Sanskrit? The eyes are called as these are called as netra, right? And then you need the sukshmendriya. Which is called Chakshu. And then you have a sense devata, who is the controller of eyes, Surya. Okay. So then you have the mind, then you have the intelligence, then you have the object, which has to be seen or tried, right? Or the form of the object. Okay. So netra is a product of mode of ignorance. Chakshu is a product of mode of passion. Surya is a product of mode of goodness. Mind is a product of mode of goods. Intelligence is a product of mode of passion. The object is a product of mode of ignorance. So this is the meaning of guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajyate. He understands in accomplishing this, one guna is engaged with another guna. The guna in the form of my eyes is engaged in the guna in the form of mode, in the form of an object, and which is processed by guna in the form of my mind and guna in the form of my intelligence, and it creates an emotion. And because my soul, which is falsely identifying with the body, thinks it is enjoying, but in reality the soul, which is spiritual, cannot enjoy matter and modes which are in mode of which are material. So he understands that, so he does not take it very seriously. Guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. The intelligent person is not attached knowing this. He thinks, I am not at all the senses nor the sense objects. There is no relation with me and the senses or the sense objects at all. He understands, I have nothing to do with the senses or the sense objects. They are products of matter. I am the spirit soul. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask? Okay. If there is none, we will cut. Then Krishna says, Prakritir guna sammudaha sajjante karmasu tana krishna vido mandan krishna vinna vichalaye. So this is again a re-emphasis. So Krishna is not telling anything which he has not already told. This is just a summary of what he has already spoken in the last 2-3 verses. He says, Prakritir guna sammudaha. One who is bewildered, sammuda, by prakritir guna, by the gunas of prakriti, sajjante guna karmasu, they are attached to the sense objects. But Krishna with, one who knows everything, na vichalayat, he not disturb, or he does not disturb, tan mandan, those foolish persons, akrishnava, who do not know this truth. So they do not. So one who knows the truth does not go and tell one who is a intelligent person, he does not go and tell a materially attached person, no, you know what, you should stop doing this, stop performing this karma, engage in jnana, don't indulge in this kind of sense gratification. You cannot tell, because he will understand, and he does not have the qualification to give it up also. So he says, if the jivas are separate from the senses and the sense objects without relationship to them, then why is it seen that people are attached to sense objects? If the soul has nothing to do with sense objects, then is it seen that people are attached to sense objects? So this verse answers, by absorption in the senses made of matter, the jivas become bewildered. So this is due to the avidya potency. This is due to the avidya potency, where the living entity who has turned his face away from Krishna, an alternate identity is created for that soul with respect to this material body, like that. Just like a man possessed by a ghost thinks himself a ghost, the jivas absorbed in the senses made of matter think themselves to be the senses. So when a ghost enters another person's body, then the person starts identifying with the identity of ghost. Similarly, when the jiva enters a material body, then the jiva starts identifying with the mental body. Then they become attached to the sense objects, guna karma su. The man who knows all does not disturb those who are ignorant. He does not attempt to make them realize that they are jivas, are different from the senses, and they are not the senses. Because they are not ready, they are not in a not ready to understand the difference between body and so rather they should be engaged, should be shown, look, be responsible in your enjoyment. Perform your varnashram duties and then enjoy. Like that, they should be properly guided. They should not be told, you are not this body. They are not ready to hear that message. Instead, he engages them in action without desire, which will remove the absorption in the senses. So instead, he should teach them, okay, engage in action, engage in action, engage in action. And slowly teach them there is a higher goal. There is a higher fruit. Give up the lower fruit and be attached to the higher fruit like that. One does not cure a man possessed of a ghost even by instructing him 100 times. You are a man, not a ghost. You are a man, not a ghost. He does not say that. Instead, one cures him by the use of mantras, juice and medicines, which will remove that affliction. Okay. Now, my question to you is, read these two lines. Okay. Read these two lines and tell me, you have to identify who is the doctor here. Okay. Who is the man possessed of ghost? What is the instruction that he is talking about? And what is the mantras, jewels, and medicine? And what is the affliction that he is talking about? Okay. So now, there are five things in this analogy. Now you have to decode the analogy. What is the lesson that Srila Vishwanatha Jagadthakur is trying to explain through this analogy? Please decode the analogy. Who is the doctor? Who is the man possessed ghost? What is the instruction he is talking about? What is the equivalent of the mantras, jewels and medicine, and what is the affliction? Please read these two lines carefully and decode it. I will wait for your answer. Many of you are doctors, so you should be able to answer this. I mean, it's a relatable analogy in that sense. Please go ahead. Anyone, at least start trying. Who would like to try? Read the two sentences carefully and tell what is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur trying to communicate here. Anyone? Please raise your hands. Or you can type your question, type the answers in the chat box also, whatever you feel comfortable with. But please do answer. What is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur trying to explain through this analogy? Okay, someone has started answering. Okay, someone says Guru is the doctor. That's a very vague answer. I need a more specific answer. Anyone ready to answer the question, please? Please try. It may be wrong. You may be wrong. That's okay. But you should try. Okay. Treatment is the modality specific to specific diseases. Okay. Okay. That's fine. But what exactly is he trying to explain through that? What is the disease here? What disease is he talking about actually? Okay. If you don't have an answer, then I will answer. Okay. The doctor is the Jnana Yogi. Okay. The man who is possessed of a ghost is a Karma Sanghi. Okay. Instruction means Jnana is better than karma. And anyway, you are not the body. You are spirit soul. This is the instruction. The mantras or pills or medicine is teaching detached performance of teaching detached performance of duties, and the affliction is material attachment. Okay. So now I have decoded the analogy. Okay. I have done your job now. I have decoded the analogy. Now, at least do this job. I want you to actually answer this question now. Please, what you see in these two sentences is in the form of an analogy. Now, make a regular sentence out of it. So, which means replace doctor by Jnana Yogi, man possessed of a ghost as Karma Sanghi. Like that, you make a replacement and rephrase the state sense and speak it. So, can you please tell me? Would anyone like to try? I have given the answer. You have to just replace replace it accordingly in these two sentences and then answer the question. Can you, sir? Please raise your hands and please try. That will be helpful for all the devotees. Can you please try? Anyone? Okay, Brajrade Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
Prabhuji, I will just replace whatever you have because I actually.
That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Please do that.
I will try. A Jnana Yogi cannot cure a Karma Sanghi just by giving him instructions 100 times. Instead, he has to cure him by teaching him detachment because he is affected with material attachments.
Perfect. Perfect. That's all I expected. That's all. A Jnana Yogi does not cure a man, does not cure a Karma Sanghi by giving him instructions on Jnana or instructions on difference between the body and soul 100 times. Instead, he cures him by teaching him how to perform detached duties so that he can remove his affliction of material attachment. That's all. That is what he is trying to explain here. Very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Madhu. So, that's what this verse is talking about. Prakriter guna sammuda sajjante guna karmasu tan akritsna vidho mandan kritsna vinna vichalayet. One should not unnecessarily disturb the foolish persons who do not know. Rather, they should be taught detached work. That's all. So, this is a summary of what he has already spoken in the last three verses, actually. Okay. So then, just give me 1 second. Just give me one second. Okay, this what here it is mentioned. So then in the next he says, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyasma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigajvaraha. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Offering all activities to me, adhyatma chetasa, being fixed in the soul, nirashir nirmamo bhutva, being without possessiveness or desire, vigata jvaraha, and being devoid of fever or lethargy, yudhyasva, fight. So, so here, this is again a summary verse. Summary of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. So what is summary of Nishkama Karma Yoga? First aspect is Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya. Offering, or he is talking about performing Yagyartat Karma. Okay, this is the first aspect of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Then the second aspect of Nishkama Karma Yoga is mind fixed on soul, which means without bodily consciousness. Then the third aspect is Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva. No possesses and no material desire. Okay. And Vigata Jvara, fourth, freedom from lethargy in executing duties. Okay. And the fifth aspect is fight. Fight means perform varnashram occupational duties. These are the various five different aspects of Nishkama Karma Yoga. First is perform yagyartat karma, offering activities to Krishna. Second, with mind fixed on soul. Third, there should be no possessiveness and no material desire. Fourth, freedom from lethargy in executing the duties. And fifth, perform the varnashram occupational duties. These are the five aspects of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So he says, the word adhyatma here is taken as an avyayiva compound, meaning in adhi, the atma, in the atma. So the adhyatma chetasa therefore means with consciousness fixed in the atma. Therefore, offering all works to me by consciousness fixed in the atma rather than in material objects, being without desires for the results, being nishkama, nirashihi, devoid of possessiveness in all respects, fight. That's what he says. This is the instruction to Arjuna. This is also again a direct instruction to Arjuna to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, this is a direct instruction to Arjuna to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue. I think we will pause here because the section is... No, I think the next two verses we can complete. So then Krishna says, I have clearly instructed you about the principles of Nishkama Karma Yoga, about the principles of Jnana Yoga, who is qualified for Nishkama Karma, who is qualified for Jnana Yoga, and a person who is qualified for Jnana Yoga, how he should deal with the Karma Sanghi, and all of that I have mentioned. He says, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manaha shraddhavanto anasuyanto munchante te pi karma bihi. He says, Ye manavaha, that person, nityam anutishtanti, who regularly follows me idam this teaching of mine, shraddhavanto, with faith, anasuyanto, and without envy, te karma bihi munchante, they will certainly become free of bondage of actions. So he says, this verse the Lord speaks to encourage people to take up his teaching. So I have told you what is the qualification for karma, what is the qualification for jnana, and what is the duty of a karma yogi, what is the duty of a jnana yogi. So you identify what your qualification is, and accordingly whatever teaching I have given, you should follow. And if you follow, you will be free from bondage of action. Okay. Yetvetad abhyasuyano na anutishtanti me matam sarva jnana vimunam stan viddhi nashna chetasaha. But no, O Arjuna, yetu, but those people, sarva jnana vimunan, who are devoid of all knowledge, achetasaha, devoid of proper consciousness, yetad me matam abhyasuyanta, and who are envious of my teaching, are hostile to my teaching, na anutishtan, therefore do not follow my teaching, nashtan, they will be lost. Okay. So they lost means they will be lost in this world of samsara. They will not be able to escape samsara. That's what he says. In this verse, the Lord speaks of the bad effects of not doing the opposite. Okay. So what benefit you get by following, and what do you stand to lose by not following? That's what Krishna says in this verse. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, if there is no discussion points, then we will pause here. Next Friday is Balram Jayanti. And the Friday after that is Janmashtami. So both days, we will not be able to have our Bhagavad Gita discussion. So we will directly meet the week after that. So for the next 2 weeks, there is no Bhagavad Gita discussion. 12th will be Balram Jayanti, and the 19th will be Janmashtami. So we will directly meet after that. 26th will be the next Friday. So on that day, we will continue our discussion on Bhagavad Gita. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.